Alright, we're going to get started. I don't have no big bell, sorry. Ding, ling, ling.
What's up, Paul?
Good morning. How's everybody doing today? Want to wish everybody a happy Independence weekend celebration. Let's remember what it's about. Mary's going to come up and sing God Bless America, and I was thinking, we sang it at my sister's house yesterday. We had a barbecue, and we prayed about our country. Thank God for family, faith, and this song is actually, that's why it's called a hymn. It's a prayer. God Bless America. And so, listen to the words. And
hold. I want them to also sing along.
Yeah, and she wants you to sing with her. You notice she said, you sing with her. She didn't say me. let me just say, today is today's July 5th. We're at Faith Bible Church. For you who know Dave and me, I'm not Dave. He's about, 8 feet tall? You know, and the thing is, it's hard for me to come to Sunday school. Because I look at Dave and think, before my ankle operation, I was about that tall. And just, I'll tell you a real quick thing, since a pastor, and honor him, he likes doing the humorous thing. When I used to own Archer Puppies, I had teenagers work for me part-time. And one real nice girl started working for me. And I told her my ankle operation joke, you know. And she goes, oh, I heard that. They told me you're going to tell me that. I go, you don't believe me? So I show her the indentations for my socks, and they look like scars. And she goes, oh, I'm so sorry. And so, you can't keep somebody going when they are too innocent. So here's Mary. That's it.
Hi, everybody. Hey. It's so awesome to be here with you guys. We love you so much. If we didn't, we would travel an hour every Sunday to be here.
Amen.
Because there's churches right around the corner from us. So this is our home church. We love everybody, and we pray for you every day. And thank you all for being our friends. And I'm going to do God Bless America, but I don't want to do it alone. I want you to join me. So if you know it, please sing it and listen while you sing it.
It's in the book in case.
Oh, okay. It is? Oh, okay.
What page? Who did the speed reading course?
I don't know where it's at in the book. So I'm just going to sing it from. Oh, I know it. Okay. So here we go. I don't know if there's any more lines to that store or that song other than what I'm going to sing, so I'm just going to sing the first thing. If there's more to the song, just sing it, okay? God bless America, land that I love. Come beside her and guide her. Well,
here's Paul.
There goes Mary. Well, I took my toothpick out already, but I'm still going to tell you, when you always see me with toothpick, right? Uh-huh. When you see the toothpick come out, turn on your minds, open up your hearts, open up the Word of God, and let's rightly divide it. You know, I was telling that short joke. I knew Bill I always leave, you know, he's made Ed McMahon for us older folks, Johnny Carson, Ed McMahon. And so he always says, when I say I come up short, you know, it's like this back there. And I feel so good today because he's awake still, you know, and he can hear my joke now, no later. But, you know, we'll have Lori poke him. All right, let's get right into the message. Again, I'm Paul A. Bobek, III, for if somebody's joining us for the first time. And you know, unless maybe you didn't have your second cup of coffee yet, you know, it's early. The name of it's going to be Grace Working in the Believer. Let's go to Titus 2, 11 to 15. Titus chapter 2, verse 11 through 15. Titus chapter 2, verse 11 to 15. My wife tells me, repeat it 3 times. All right, let's go. Let's do an MC Hammer. Let's break it down. We're not just going to read the Bible. We're going to study the Bible this morning. What's this called? Adult Bible study class, right? For the grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared to all men. Now, I'm going to stop there for a sec. I believe Paul is writing about when Christ appeared to Paul on the road to Damascus. Because the dispensation of grace didn't appear when Christ came and incarnated in this, you know, and took on flesh. So I think that's what Paul's talking about. That's when the dispensation of grace began. When Christ appeared to him, he trusted in Christ. Christ commissioned him, and that's what I think he's talking about. So now the context is what? The grace of God. What does grace, what's the purpose that God has for his grace? Teaching us. Grace is supposed to teach us that denying ungodliness, so saying no to ungodliness, to sin, and worldly lust, that's a negative. The positive is we should live soberly, clear thinking, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope. What's that talking about? Hello? What's our blessed hope? Murdoch, keep that coffee coming. It's, well, actually, we have a blessed hope, heaven. But how we going to heaven? The rapture. Usually when Paul talks about the blessed hope, he's speaking of the rapture. So we should be looking for that. Nobody knows when it's going to happen. You know, no, I see on Facebook and stuff people saying, oh, we're, look at all the signs. The only signs that are happening before the rapture is what's in Paul's epistles. No signs that Christ gave about the earthly kingdom prophetic program are being fulfilled today. We live in what? The age of grace. That was a sacred secret, a mystery. Ephesians chapter 3, Colossians 1:25, you know, Romans 16:25. And he says, that glorious appearing of our, I love this, great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Nobody can say Jesus Christ is not God the Son. See, I've been seeing on Facebook a lot of confusion on the Trinity, that triune God. There's one God, and in that, in the Godhead are three persons, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. It's one God, yet there are three individuals, which is hard for us to understand, but we're a triunity. We have a body, a soul, and a spirit, right? What are you? Are you just body? Are you just soul, spirit, soul? You know, there's different illustrations we could use for understanding the Trinity, such as an egg. What's the egg? The shell? The yolk? The white, right? But they're all the egg, right? One egg, but it's got three different aspects to it. I've heard it said, we might not be able to comprehend the Trinity, but if you don't believe it, if you don't apprehend it, then you don't know the one true God. right? You know, Jews worship the God of the Old Testament, who is still the same God now. But see, they overall haven't recognized Jesus Christ. You know, and then you have what you call Messianic Jews, and sometimes I wonder about some of them, because they believe Christ is their Messiah, but nobody's getting saved today by just believing Christ is their Messiah. What does Paul tell us? What's the gospel that you saved? That you believe and you stay saved. That Christ, 1 Corinthians 15, 1-4, right? That Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. He was buried and he rose again according to the scriptures. Ephesians 2, 8, 9, I always add them too. Because every denomination in, quote, Christendom, unquote, will teach the death, burial, and the resurrection, right? They even got it on their windows a lot of times. But you know what they don't believe? That you're saved by grace through faith, not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, right? Not of works, lest anyone should boast. So I always, when I share the gospel, I include both of that. And there's other verses you could, you know, maybe you like to share also. But to me, that makes salvation real clear. It's by grace through faith alone in Christ alone. So he says, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous for good works. We're saved by grace through faith, right? That's Ephesians 2, 8, 9, what I just... But what's the next verse? We're saved, we're God's workmanship created on the good works. If you notice, God's doing the work. We're his workmanship. He's like the artist. Like Mary's an artist. She creates, right? The canvas doesn't just bring out the picture. It's God who works in us, right? Both to will and to do according to his good pleasure. See, there's the balance of the Christian life, if you ask me. We have to depend upon Christ in us to express his love, his truth out of us, to live out of us, through our personalities, okay? But we cooperate with the Holy Spirit, do you know that? How come Paul tells us, put off them old filthy rags of the flesh, right? Put on Christ. We cooperate with the Holy Spirit. When we start applying the Word of God, it's one thing to know it. I mean, we come to church every week, right, pretty much? Or some Sunday school, some church. And hopefully we're studying on our own during the week. So when we come to church, the preaching and when Dave's teaching, it stirs up that doctrine you've been filling your souls with, and it brings it to animation. But it's one thing to know stuff, right? But if you don't apply it to the details of your life, it's not going to bust a grape. That's what I talk about just becoming a doctrine head, or a big fat cat that comes to church. Give me some more doctrine. Give me some more doctrine. You know, but they don't get it out of their seat. And, you know, when we're leaving, we're entering the mission field. We still haven't got that thing for the pastor. We want to give him a thing to put over the door when you're going out. You're entering in the mission field. You don't got to go overseas. I mean, it's great that we have missionaries with TCM missions. You know, I pray for them every day, and the churches that've been established through them and the work they're doing. But we, you know what? You don't got to go out of our country to find pagans. They're right at work, in our family, some, you know. So we got a mission here. But if we don't take and apply this word, what's God's desire? For sure we know. We know a lot of his will all through the scriptures, but especially in Paul's epistles, right? That all men be saved, right? All to be saved, I'm sorry. That's men, women, boys, and girls. And then what? Come to the knowledge of the truth. Now, if we want to do God's will, what do we need to be doing? Sharing the gospel with the lost, right? No?
Yeah.
And what? With the saved. Helping them to come to knowledge of the truth. Sharing with them God's word, rightly divided, And what Paul say his goal is, and it's mine and I hope it's yours because you understand the mystery, to make all see what is a fellowship, or that could be interpreted dispensation of the mystery that was hidden God in time past, right? But now it's unfolded from Christ from heaven to what? The Apostle Paul, his epistles to us. But doesn't Paul say, I give you the commands of Christ? What are commands for? To be obeyed, no? Yeah, we're under grace. We're not under law. We're not under Ten Commandments. And 630, I heard now, somebody said, I was listening to Paul Sadler, that there's about 643. I had always heard 630. But anyway, it's a lot of commands. We're not under any of that, right? What's Paul say? In Romans 6:14, since you'll not have dominion over you, right? Why? Because you're not under law, you're under grace. Get yourself under legalism, right? The law, what's going to dominate you? Your sin nature. Get under grace, what are you going to be free from? You're going to be walking in the Spirit. You know, so under grace, it's not, you know, it's not antinomianism. No, nothing we're not under. We have instructions. We have commands. We have promises. We find them in Paul's epistles, right? So that's good. You get there. Yeah, we don't got to get water baptized anymore. We don't got to pay tithes. We give offerings, right? And that's true. We're not Israel. All right, that's good. Right, I like what the pastor said that one time. He says, you don't keep studying rightly dividing, how to rightly divide. You learn how to rightly divide. Once you got them principles, now you study God's word. That's the purpose. Don't stop. You know, Bruce Lee says, you know, don't miss the heavenlies by looking at your finger. Right division is just the key that helps us understand, open up, and unlock the spiritual treasures that Paul shows us, right? But once you know where to go for our instructions, now we go and apply it. And none of us do it perfect, do you? I don't. Here's one for you, Bill. I come up short every day. See, he fell asleep. Otherwise, he would have said something. I was telling the brother out in the hallway, growth comes by, you know, we don't become sinless until we get our new bodies at the rapture. They won't have a sin nature. I'm so thankful for that. Before that, we're all going to struggle. Sometimes we're going to respond in the flesh. Sometime we're going to respond in the spirit. So we didn't become sinless. But as you grow, and growth is applying the word of God. When it says forgive, as you've been forgiven, do you apply it? Or do we let bitterness? You know, I heard of a preacher that's been in hundreds of grace churches. He said the biggest problem is, you know what? Unforgiveness. Shame. And in grace churches, we know Paul says forgive as you've been forgiven, right? So when your wife does something, do you forgive her? When your husband does something, you know? When someone else does something that might hurt you or bother you or whatever, it's our choice, right? To choose to forgive and to love each other. What did Paul say? Now the Galatian church, they were grace believers, weren't they? Paul said, you were doing great. He taught them grace, man. They were running, you know, running the race of grace. And what did he say? Who cut in on you? Who deceived you? Watch lest you devour one another. Don't let things come in between spiritual family or your family. You know, we need to apply the word of God. And we need to love each other. We're not all going to see the same on things, right? We're not all going to click personality-wise. You know, I'm sure some of you don't like my personality. I don't know why. And, you know, sometimes, just because my personality, I might not click with that one. Like, maybe I wouldn't hang out with them, you know what I'm saying? Like, I wouldn't hang out with big guy, you know why? He makes me look too short. I mean, I'm up to this guy's waist. I'm like, I feel like calling him, Goliath or something. Yeah. But, you know what I mean? We'll bump heads sometime. Just personalities. God never says you got to like somebody, but he calls us to love each other, right? Love means you're there for each other, right? And so this is what I'm talking about, taking the Word of God and applying it. Now, why I started out here at Titus 2:11 and 12, how does saying no to ungodliness, saying yes to righteousness or godliness, I'll say what it says, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. And then in the end of verse 14, zealous for good works. Well, how does that work out in our experience? Okay, let's go to Galatians 2:20. So back up, Galatians 2:20. Look at this, what Paul says. I am. That's why I love going to the Greek. The Greek is very expressive, and that's what God breathed out in the original Greek language. He never breathed the word and inspired a word in English. So in the Greek, so that's, I go back to my Vines expository dictionary, and I find out what words can mean. And I love doing that because it gives me a clear understanding of what that word means. What actually I think the Holy Spirit wants us to know means. So I am crucified has the idea, the tense is, it happened one time with continuing results. Like, you are saved by grace. And some translations say you have been. Well, they're both right. Because in the Greek, it's in the I believe it's the perfect tense. It means some that happened in a point of time with continuing results. So I am saved. I continue to be saved, right? We have eternal security. Here, Paul says, I am crucified. When did Paul get crucified? Romans chapter 6, baby. Where the moment someone trusts in Christ, let's just jump there real quick and then we'll come back to her. Go back a couple books. Romans chapter 6. I studied that chapter for months because I know it's the mechanics of the Christian life. Romans chapter 6, starting in verse 1. I'm not going to go through the whole chapter, but I just want you to see one part of Scripture. See, when you study the Word of God, when you memorize it, the Holy Spirit brings to your mind this truth. And then what he does, he'll take another truth, and it's like a puzzle. It starts getting more clear. That's why we need to stay in the Word of God. And if we don't take none in, we're not giving him a lot to work with, are we? If we're not studying God's Word. You know, Steve's not here, so I had text with him, and so I don't know who he's talking about, so I don't know who goes to his Bible studies. You know, I know you go, Boyd, but I know this wouldn't be a comment from you. But he told me he was a little discouraged. A couple people, not just one, said they have a struggle between coming to the Bible study or watching, what's his name, Tucker Carlson? He's a real conservative guy on Fox. And I'm like, you can watch him every night. Why wouldn't you want to get into God's Word, get our minds off this world? You know, it's fallen. If we don't stay in God's Word, we're going to be all, you know, it's fine to have views and ideas, and we differ in them, you know, and we can agree to disagree and still love each other. But if we don't get into the Word and be transformed by the renewing of our minds, we'll be conformed to this world's way of thinking. Yeah. So, all right, let's go to Romans 6. And this is what I'm talking about, application. You can know these truths, precious truths, dynamite truths, powerful truths. But if we're not applying it when we go through things, then, like I said, we're not tearing toilet paper. We ain't busting a grate. Paul says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Ain't that what people say when you're sharing grace? Oh, you're just saying we can just go out and sin because we're completely forgiven? Did I say that? If you knew that, would you do that? Do you want to kill somebody? You mean I just kill somebody and, you know, I'll still be forgiven? Do you want to kill somebody? See, they're trying to throw it on you. I throw the ball back to them. I'm like, do you want to kill somebody? And the only reason you ain't killing somebody because you think God's going to get you? I said, I don't kill somebody even when I get angry at them. Why? Because God says to love them. Grace don't teach me they want to kill somebody, right? Not that you couldn't, because we got sinful nature in us, you know, but here's what he says. What shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin? You say, how are we dead to sin? Live in it any longer. Well, Paul's going to explain. See, when you're studying God's Word, these are questions you should be asking. Don't just read the Word. That has its place. Study is when prayerful study. That we depend on the Holy Spirit to illumine our minds. I never study the Word of God without saying, Lord, may your Holy Spirit illumine my mind. So I don't know just what it says. I know what it means. You know, in the Old Testament, when they brought the Bible back out, I believe it might be in the book of Ezra and Nehemiah, and the priest taught them the sense. The people went away rejoicing. There was revival. The Holy Spirit's got to teach us a sense. What it means. What He's the one who inspired it, right? Who better to teach you what's written than the one who inspired it, right? So, he said, God forbid, how shall we live? And how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not? So don't you know? So many of us, as were baptized, now that this is not water, when you put water baptism, now the Bible talks about water baptism, but context will always teach you what the word means. What's it say we're baptized? Paul said in, was it 1 Corinthians, I believe, chapter 1, verse 17, we're baptized by the Holy Spirit into the body of Christ, right? That's a spiritual baptism. That's what he's talking about here. So that idea, it means being identified or placed into. See, Christ identified with our sins, right? On the cross. He took our sins upon him. The moment we trust, see, a lot of people know. I bet you there's some people in this church that ain't saved. They've been in the church your whole life. You know, I hope not. But most churches have some unsaved people, some saved people. And they know all the facts. Oh, I was taught in, what some classes you take? Catechism classes. I was taught about Christ died for sin, he buried, resurrected. But have you ever identified yourself with Christ dying? You're that. I can't save myself. I'm a sinner, a wretch before a holy God. Or do you think, well, I'm a pretty good kid. I grew up in church. You know? God has no grandchildren. My mom and dad were saved. Don't mean I'm saved. You got to make that choice to trust. Now, I realize he's dying my debt. The Holy Spirit places me. I've been crucified. What Paul said, I've been crucified with Christ. You die who you are in Adam. That person don't exist. What do you do with the dead person? You bury them. I've been buried with Christ. Then what does God do? I'm glad it didn't just stop there, right? See, most people be being evangelized with half a gospel. The gospel ain't just Christ died for your sins. Did Paul say that's it? No, he was buried and he rose. See, it's through the resurrection that we become new creations. We trust Christ died for our sins. God declares us righteous. Now it's justification unto life. We receive the life of Christ. His Spirit. We're sealed. God places His seal of ownership on us. And we're His. He's ours. Christ is our Savior. We're in union with Him. And not in union in Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. What did Paul say? though we knew in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, around verse 16, though we knew Christ caught in the flesh, we know about Christ teaching Israel in the law, right? He said, but we don't know him like that no more. We know him thus no longer. How do we know him today? Head of the body of Christ, right? Seated at the right hand of the Father. Now, not only did we rise with Christ, we ascended with him. What does Paul say in Ephesians? Go to Ephesians and keep your finger in Romans. Go to Ephesians chapter 2. I always tell people, don't take my word for anything. Search the scriptures. Ephesians 2. Six, but before that, go to chapter 1, and then we're going to, so I want you to put two and two together. Paul's praying for these grace believers. He says in verse 19, he's asking that God would open their eyes and turn that light on in their mind. And so they would know it. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power towards us who believe? According to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ, when he raised him from the dead and set him in his own right hand in heavenly places, far above all principalities, powers, and might, and dominion, and every name that's named, not only in this world, but also in that which has come, and has put all things under his feet, and gave him to be what? Head, not our Messiah. We know him as Israel's Messiah, the anointed one that God was going to send. And that Messiah is also our Savior and the head. He's not a different Jesus. He's the same Jesus. Because what Paul say, watch, lest they teach you about a different Jesus. And he said, and has put all things under his head, and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that fills all in all. Now, he rose, right? He ascended. He glorified, sitting at the right hand of Father, right? Well, we died with him, right? We're buried with him, right? We rose with him. Now go to chapter 2, verse 7. And has raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ. We're seated with him. How? Because God placed us into his death, burial, and resurrection. When we identified, he died for our sins. He was buried and he rose. And Christ came in and dwelt us. We're in such union. We're fused with Christ. You can't separate yourself from Christ. I don't care how bad you've been acting or might act. The Holy Spirit will never leave us. Christ will never leave us. We're sealed what? Till the day of redemption, the rapture. That means we're guaranteed heaven. Now, the thing is, how loyal is the Holy Spirit to us? He's the one who produces all the fruit. He's the one who takes the Word of God and transforms our thinking. Do you want to grieve him? No. I don't want to hurt. You know why I've stayed faithful to my wife? I don't care, Bible teachers, pastors. That's why we need to pray for our pastor, Dave. Pray for me. We're men, and we got a sin nature. And we could do anything an unsaved person could do if we make that choice. We should never. Why do I stay faithful to my wife? Because she's so loving. She's loyal. She was with me in the hospital, spending nights there. She loves me daily. She brings sunshine into our home, song, love. I don't want to hurt her. See, so it's the same thing. We don't want to grieve the Holy Spirit. He's so good to us. He uses us. To me, that's such a fantastic truth. Because we're in Christ. God, he who knew no sin became sin for us. Right? Think about that. When we're powerless, we're enemies of God in our minds. Christ died for us. Think of the cross. What Christ suffered for us. That was our pain, our shame. When them thorns they were long, you know, they weren't just the little thing they show in pictures. They were long, and they pushed into his skin. They beat him into him, and they kept going deeper and deeper. His back's in shreds. I mean, think about it. It's not like the nice little pictures they show. His face, you can't recognize him. He was beat up for you. He was beat up for me. He hung on a cross. He can't breathe. Every time he tried to take a breath, he pulls himself up. Pain goes through his hands and his feet. Who's he doing it for? Me. He's doing it for you. Don't you want to honor Christ? Don't you want to serve him? Don't you want to be used of him? Let other people know this love. The world's looking for love. It's filled with hate. It's looking for peace. It's looking for joy, right? The gospel and God's word, God is the answer to all the problems in our world. Amen. The pastor's been, you know, sharing that a lot lately. And God's word and application of God's word is the answer. When people see the joy in us, when they see the love in us, the light in us, the peace, because we're focused on the Lord. When you focus on the Lord, don't you have peace? Be anxious for none, but by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, make your request be made known to God, and then what? The peace of God that passes all understanding will protect your mind and heart. That's application too. When you're worried, when you're anxious, what are you supposed to do? Worry? Stay anxious? Didn't Jesus say it wouldn't add a hair to your head? Worrying? Not an inch to your stature? I can't look at Bill sometimes. Worrying does nothing. Praying does a lot. One thing, if we're praying according to God's will, and that's why it's so important to rightly divide the word, so we know what His will is today in the dispensation of grace, right? Well, God's going to work in them prayers. And also, when we're praying, we remember who God is. How big's your God? Are y'all worried? Everything in the world? Ooh, watch the news every night. Ooh, scared. Or do you realize the universe can't hold God? That's what Scripture tells us. He's a big God. There's no limit to His power and His wisdom. And thank God, God is love. His love is infinite because God is infinite. His grace is unconditional. Ain't you glad? Man, every day I thank God for His grace. Because I'm real honest, you know. I don't like to try and act like this holy moly, you know, just because you teach or, you know, I'm an assistant pastor here. Right? I've been one of the pastors at another church, the, I guess, senior pastors or whatever. But I always been honest. See, as grace believers, we can be honest with each other. We all struggle, no? Yeah. We all struggle with different things. You know, I was telling him also, Vernon McGee, he had a little bit of doctrine. He didn't know mid-ex dispensationalism. He didn't understand so much the mystery. But he had some grace principles. And he went to a... now, this can be boring for him, I already told him. He went to a Bible conference, and everybody's got suits on, you know. And he comes out with this flowered Hawaiian shirt. That's what I love about him. He's like, just for real. He's not trying to impress him. But, you know, I mean, it's fine. I wear a tie, more for Mary. She likes me in a suit. But he says, if I could look out, if y'all had bubble heads, you can plastic, you know, you can see it. He said, I could see your thoughts. I probably wouldn't want to preach there. He says, but, or if I had the, yeah. But he said, but if you could see into my head, you probably wouldn't want me to preach to you. You know? So we all come up short. But the fantastic thing is God sees us in Christ. He who knew no sin became sin for us. That what? We might become the righteousness of God in Him. If you're in Christ, you are the righteousness of God in Him. God sees Christ when He's looking at you. He's not looking at your sins. He dealt with your sins at the cross. Now we don't have to be sin, failure, focus. Now we can be, Lord, use me today. It's my desire to follow Jesus, you know. But not in my own strength. it's, let's go back, well, here, let me go back to Romans, and I got about 5 minutes. Romans chapter 6. So how does it work out in our life? Denying ungodliness, saying yes to godliness. Denying sin, if you want, saying yes to godliness. And being a people zealous for good works. I'll start verse 1 again. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin any longer or live any longer in it? Know ye not. Don't you love that? Who's the biggest denomination in Christendom? The ignorant brethren. Paul says, I don't want you to be ignorant, brethren, right? He says, know ye not that so many of us as were baptized, remember the word, baptismo, it means placed into, identified. So the Holy Spirit placed us into Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. Look at this. And we're baptized into Christ, we're baptized into his death. Placed into, the moment you trusted, God identified, placed you into, killed you, who you were in Adam. He buried you, and you rose as a new creation. Keep going. Therefore, we were buried with him. See, placed into a tomb. Was he placed into water?
No.
A tomb wasn't filled with water. So see how they try and say, oh, this is a picture of water baptism, your testimony. No, it's not. It's a picture of what God did, not what we can do and a man does. He says, therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death. I'm glad it didn't stop there. That like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in newness of life. Now, that word life, I'm going to Greek again, okay? It's Z-O-E, Zoe. You know what kind of life that is? Spiritual life. So when you read that, look at, think of that. That we should walk in newness of life. Under the influence of the Holy Spirit and our new nature, as Paul says what? Walk in the Spirit, you will not fulfill lust of the flesh. How do you walk in the Spirit? You take the Word of God, especially, we specialize in Paul's epistles, but all over the Scriptures, there's principles we learn from. And you apply it. See, my old pastor, Jim Kirkwood, he used to say, our really only problem is adjustment to the Holy Spirit. You know, it's taking, God didn't say if you feel like forgiving somebody, did he? He says, as God forgave, you forgive. So I'm just using that as one, you know, there's so many. When he says, be anxious for nothing, right? Well, do you feel like not being, do you feel like not anxious when you're worried? When you're, you know, stressing? Because we go through tough times, right? Every one of us, Paul says, you know, we suffer the same things that unsaved people suffer. We live in a fallen world. You know, stuff happens. Sometimes we make bad choices. You sow to the flesh, you reap from the flesh. Sow to the Spirit, you reap from the Spirit. When you reap from the flesh, that's not God punishing you. What he does, he disciplines us, if you want to call it chastisement, through the Word of God. All Scripture is profitable, right? Used for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training. How does God correct us? How does he train us? The Word of God. Rightly divided, right? And so it's taking this and applying it. And once we start applying, see, I remember a guy led to the Lord, and you know, he's studying the Word, and he, oh, there's so much to learn. I said, just study it. You'll get it. You know, you're thinking too much. So you think, well, Paul gives us, I forget how many commands are in Paul's epistles. I got to study on it. I'll look it up, and then if anybody wants to ask me next time. We won't be here, by the way, for 2 more weeks. We're going to Wisconsin, right, next week, and minister at a church up there, Grace Church, and then to Indiana, long drives. But we love to minister together. And so keep us in prayer for that. But let's just keep going here, and I got about 2 minutes. In verse 5, for if we have been planted, you see that? Placed into or planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man, that's who we were in Adam, is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, its power. It's not that the sin nature ain't there. This is the same word in the Greek that it says in Hebrews when the devil was destroyed. Is the devil still around? Yeah. We're at war, right? It's king of light, king of darkness. But we're on the winning side. Christ already defeated him. He's like on death row. His execution is going to be carried out. We've read the end of the book. We know, right? So I forgot where I was going with that. Anyway, for he that is dead is freed from sin. See, when you get tempted, and whatever it might be, you got to say, that's not me. That's a sin nature that's still in there. But I'm not in Adam anymore. Lord, see, I get my focus off my struggle on the God. And what happens? I start rejoicing. Walking in the Spirit, you won't feel lust of the flesh. And he said, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dies no more. That has no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once. But in that he liveth unto God. Likewise, what's that mean? In the same way, reckon, that means count, calculate. Think of what God said. Get it down under in your understanding because you're studying this word. You died with Christ. In Adam, you don't exist anymore. You're a new creation. Risen, and you're in union with Christ. He's our head. We're his body. Many members, one body. Likewise, so when you get tempted, here's the answer. Here's how this works out. Saying no to sin, living upright and godly, zealous for good works. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves. So count yourselves to be dead indeed to sin. The cross broke the power of sin. Grace is convicting, man. To me, worse than legalism. Because we never have to sin. The cross broke the power of sin. Ain't that convicting to you? We got no excuse when we sin. But the good news is also, we don't have to. The more we apply, see, you start applying this. It becomes a holy, healthy habit. Then you do it without thinking. Now I apply this. That's growth. It's not we become sinless. What happens? You start sinning less. So we have to apply this. Reckon yourselves to be dead, yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So we present ourselves to God. That's true worship. I'm going to end with, go back to Galatians 2:20 where I started. And now you'll see what Paul's saying. Galatians 2:20, and then we'll close with prayer. Galatians 2:20. You get this now? I am crucified. That's what you have to recognize. You have been crucified with Christ, right? Then and there, you were buried with him, you rose, you're a new creation in Christ. Now, if you're a new creation in Christ, does it make sense to go act like an old sinner? No, right? What's it make sense to? Walk in the Spirit. This is who I am. See, that's that transforming by the renewing of our mind. He said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. But how is he living the Christian life? Yet not I. He's saying, not in my strength, not in my power, not in my determination, not in my commitment. Not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I now live in this flesh, or this body, I live by what? The faith. So the faithfulness of Christ. He's faithful to live through us when we depend on him. When you depend on yourself, He says, go ahead, go ahead. That's when we fall from grace. You don't get unsaved. It just means Christ is not working in you. And then you learn, I know what happened. I got sort of prideful. I thought I could live this Christian life. Lord, thank you for teaching me. No longer I, but you. Praise God. So let me just finish the verse. I live by the faith of the Son of God. And look at this, who loved me and gave himself for me. I just want to say at the end for maybe somebody just flying through the internet, if you've never trusted in Christ, he loved you and he died for you. And anyone here in the church, I ask you, can you remember a time you trusted? You recognize you're a sinner, couldn't save yourself, and trusted that Christ died for your sins, he was buried and rose. If not, do it today in the quietness of your heart. And for yous out there, you recognize you're a sinner, you ain't before a perfect holy God, and you can't save yourself? Well, Christ died for you. He was buried and he rose. Won't you trust today and he'll save you by grace, unmerited favor, through faith, just by you trusting. Not of yourselves, none you have to do except just trust. It's a gift to God, not of works. Do it now because it's too late when we leave this life. I challenge you, I beg you. And with that, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for sending your son to a race of rebels. None of us deserve salvation. We deserve punishment. And Christ took our punishment, our shame. He was nailed to that cross. They took his clothes, most of them. What shame it was to be up there, dying as a criminal, our death. We were the criminals. We broke your law. Yet, I thank you, Lord. Not only did he die for our sins, and he was buried, but he rose victorious over the dead. And because of that, when we trust in him, his spirit comes in and dwells us, your spirit. And now you can use us. Give us some boldness, Father, to share, but out of love, to share the gospel with the lost. Help us not to think about ourselves, what they think about us, but to love them so much that, you know, we wouldn't let anyone go to hell without grasping their feet and trying to turn them to Christ, get them to look to him. And I pray for us also for boldness, but to speak it again, as we ought to, like Paul said, boldly, but as we ought. That means gentle, sharing boldly, but not in a mean way, being patient with people, because that's fruit of your Holy Spirit. I pray today the seeds that were planted, Father, from your word, you would give the increase, you would give the growth, and they would manifest fruit in our lives. In Jesus' name I pray.